A white man? No!
Welcome to the Unsub as a White Man. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Emily.
And we are finally back with another Criminal Minds recap. I very much appreciated everybody's well wishes for our House of Sickness last week. It was a pretty rough 8 days.
Yeah. For us. I'm glad you guys are all better now.
Me too. And no one in my house is allowed to get sick again until next calendar year, I've decided.
I'm also excited to talk about this episode.
Yes, I've been excited to talk about this episode for weeks.
I forgot that we actually hadn't talked about it yet. And like Thursday night when I was like getting ready to watch the next episode and take notes, I like flipped open my laptop and I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like we didn't actually discuss this one.
Today, we get to talk about Reflections of Desire. Or I'm sorry, not plural, singular. Reflection of Desire.
Singular reflection.
One reflection. Which originally aired November 10th, 2010. And what an opening. What a way to start.
Yes. Yeah, it opens with Garcia and she's like doing a voiceover. And it's a very dramatic monologue, which we just discussed, and I am not going to read the entire thing.
No.
Because I don't want to have to do it in, like, her dramatic actress voice.
I was really looking forward to hearing you say it, but it's okay.
But she's, like, putting on, like, pinup-ish makeup.
Yeah, it's very, like, Black Dahlia.
Yeah.
Garcia.
Yeah. And then it cuts to a man who's shining a light on a woman. He's taking photos of her with like a very old-timey camera. And he's dressed very like 1940s-ish. Yeah. And we see that she's actually tied to the chair. Mm-hmm. She's also dressed in that
very
time period
way,
style,
yeah.
Like very like golden age of Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another woman that's there, but shadowed.
Yeah.
Can't really see her.
It's all very creepy and disconcerting. Yeah.
And then Garcia takes all the makeup off that she just put on. And then draws a heart in the mirror and lipstick.
Yeah.
And like she's like talking into the mirror. And like this is, I'm not a theater person. We've discussed this many times. But wouldn't talking directly into a mirror on stage just make it really hard for everyone to hear you?
First of all, from a lighting perspective, having
terrible.
A real mirror on stage would be a nightmare, and no one would do that.
Yeah.
You would have the outline there and the fake mirror
but
people could see
through you.
The audience
can't see
your
reflection anyway, so it doesn't matter.
They wouldn't be able to see her at all between the lights and the angles. So I don't know what they think is happening on this stage, but it is very, very poorly staged, this play.
It was like, so have you seen a play?
Right.
You've not seen a play.
No. Like most things, the writers of this episode did not do even one smidge of...
coming from a place of no expertise.
Yeah, right? It is really hard to watch Garcia do such bad community theater.
It's, yeah. It's
and
very
I say that as someone
theater.
Who's been in a lot of bad community theater. So...
you've been in some good community theater too, though.
Thank you. You have to say
I've seen
friend.
A lot of your plays. But yeah, the man explains like the plot of this black and white movie that's playing on a projector screen. It's like the reel to reel one behind her, and he's making her say the lines along with it. She messes up the lines, asks to be untied, and was like, "Is this a real movie? I couldn't tell if it was a real movie.
I
looked
like
it up. It's not.
Yeah, it's made up for the show.
I was like, yeah, I was like watching it, and I was like, I'm gonna make some dumb comment, and this is gonna be like Casablanca, which I have never seen. And then everyone's gonna be like, what an idiot!
Like, I can't believe you don't know Reflection of Desire, Emily.
Yeah, but yeah, then the older, this older blonde woman who looks vaguely like Cybill Shepherd but is not because she's already been in one of these appears out of the darkness.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of when Elizabeth Taylor is on 30 Rock when Rachel Dratch is playing her and she like keeps appearing and her eyes are like glowing in the dark. And she's just like white diamonds. But yeah, she like comes out and like says the lines very dramatically.
And you're like, okay, so what is the relationship between this man and woman?
Yeah.
Right?
It's very weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, then the man chloroforms the younger woman, and then she wakes up in a car.
Yeah.
Like seemingly alone, like sits up, and then he like pops up in a way that is absolutely hilarious. Just like boing, like pops up from the back seat and then strangles her. And you're like, why would you wait for her to wake up? Like, why would you chloroform someone to take them to a second location and then strangle them when
they wake up? You could very easily suffocate them while they're passed out. That would be the point, right?
It's so dumb.
I know, but he also does it. I feel like everyone has this delusion that if somebody was suffocating you by putting a bag over your head, that you'd be able to do something about it to stop them, right? Like, yeah. I always imagine, like, poking my finger into where my mouth is to, like, break the plastic open.
Are your
open.
Hands free? It's a plastic bag. You
right?
can just
rip
it.
The bag. I mean, they could still choke you with wrapping it around your neck, I guess, but... I feel like that'd be the first thing I'd do, would just be like rip the plastic bag open.
Now what?
Right? And that would throw him off enough that I would
that you could
make
like
a
throw
run
an
for
elbow
it.
Or something.
Yeah, but I don't know. And we're going in between that and the bad community theater.
Yeah.
There's like a lot to take in.
Yeah, because you don't know it's theater at first,
right.
But then it like pans around and you can see the audience.
Yeah.
And she like has like her back to the audience and is just talking into the mirror. And it was like this is not good blocking.
Yeah.
It just bothers me. But yeah, she's doing a play about murder. It's like a murder play.
Oh, yeah.
Like, would you, if that was your job?
No, can you imagine doing a play about being a teacher and pretending to be a teacher in your spare time after you're a teacher all day, every day?
No. It's like one of the reasons where like I like Abbott Elementary, but like I can't
watch it.
I don't really want to watch it because I'm like, no, this is just my life.
Right. I mean, even to the degree...
It's a very good show, but I can't get
into
it.
But I can't watch it. I've watched only a couple, and I'm like, okay.
That's why I want to watch shows about, like, doctors.
Right, exactly.
I don't know anything about it, and it lets me forget about my real life.
It's not escapism when if it's what you already do all day.
Yeah.
Like, I teach kids theater all day. Guess what I don't want to do? Direct a kids theater production in my spare time.
Yeah.
I already do that. That's not an extracurricular activity.
Yeah, it just seems like...
I don't understand how it's cathartic for her.
And yeah, like that's the point of theater.
Right.
Is to like become someone else.
Right.
And like engage in this like character in this world that is not your own.
Right. Except it is.
Yeah. But yeah.
But
anyway,
there she is.
What do I know?
She gets a standing ovation.
Yes. And then the man in the car, Rebecca to him, slowly... Mm. Really unnecessarily slowly brings a razor blade down to the woman's face.
Yeah.
Like so slowly that you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Get on with it.
Like nobody's watching
no
you.
That's not dramatic effect if no one is watching. So Morgan and Prentice then.
And it's still like very film noir. Sorry,
yes.
This whole thing.
That's what
been,
I was just going to say.
Yeah.
It's very like it's raining and they're in this dark crime. It's the only time they've ever come to a crime scene in the night.
Yes.
The body has been dumped there. They pull back the cover on the body and they're clearly very shocked by what they have seen here.
Yeah.
We learn that Kelly Landis is the girl's name. Mm-hmm. She was taken 3 days ago. And the Georgetown paper received a black and white photo of her looking like a 1940s movie star before she was found, but after they knew that she was missing.
Yeah.
So her body was dumped in this alleyway and her lips were cut off.
Yes.
So Rossi was like...
They're all horrified.
Yeah.
And like, you've seen... I love the local... I know they've always seen way worse than this and they pretend like it's the worst thing they've ever seen.
Yeah.
But they like the local detective guy in like his trench coat, and he's like all gruff and old timey.
Yeah.
Like I washed my hands of this mess.
Yeah, he's like 3 days from retirement.
Yeah,
like of course it is. It doesn't need to be 3 days from your retirement. But yeah, Rossi suggests that the lips were taken as a trophy, and Reed, as he is eating a muffin, helpfully suggests that maybe the killer ate them, and they're all like,
"Ew." It's like, you ass.
Why would you eat lips?
Yeah.
But yeah, then we see the blonde woman and the man watching the news report about Kelly's murder.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, and this in this little briefing, Hotch like notices Garcia's got her flyers out, right?
Yeah, the like playbill or whatever is like in with it, and he's like, "What is this?" And she's like, "None of your business."
Yeah, like then why are you leaving them?
Why are you carrying them
into this meeting, Garcia?
She's like, "Oh, did I leave? Oh no, everyone knows I'm in a plane.
I better close my binder. I can't believe you saw that thing that I left right out in front of you.
You know, like how you carry around all the playbills from all of your plays,
right?
And just like." Leave them laying around so we all ask you about the show that you're in.
I actually try not to have people come and see me.
The detective on the case, 2 days away from retirement, Hotch tells him that no one's allowed to talk to the press on this. They tell the detective that cutting off the lips is a unique signature that no one has ever seen before. This has never happened in
never
the history of
it.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't believe.
I don't either.
I don't believe in this universe that that's not a thing that anyone's ever seen before. Mm-hmm. But sure. So the killer and the blonde woman are sitting in what I assume is supposed to be Union Station.
I guess.
It's not.
It's
not at all. But
a very, very poor approximation of that.
Yeah. He is chatting with this little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really cute. And she's like putting all of her stuff into a backpack, which is the same backpack that my daughter carried to preschool every single day for 2 years. And I was like, ugh, oh no.
Oh no.
But he's
and like the mom is very preoccupied on her cell phone, which you obviously is like, we're supposed to think badly of her because of that.
And like, this is a man that like, he just has a general air about him that you would not
want your children to talk to him. Yep.
It's like being a little too friendly.
I wouldn't want to talk to him as an adult.
Yeah.
He's very off-putting.
But yeah, it's like one of those things where you would like walk over to your kid and just direct them away.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like smile and be like, okay.
Right there.
Right. And she's just letting it happen, so.
Yeah. He's like talking to her about how like different people have different walks, and the mom is like, "This is why I told you never to have kids," and gets up and walks away. Or the, not the mom, the older lady.
Yeah.
And she's like, "I'm going to go buy some flowers or something," and like wanders away. She's like wearing all black and it's like,
she's
really
like in
dramatic.
A gown. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot for whatever this train station is supposed to be.
But yeah, like he asks how the, like he asks the little girl how she walks.
Mm,
and
like,
she's like,
oh, no.
"I can show you." Like, I'm like,
no,
ew.
No.
But yeah, the team compares the dump site and the location of the newspaper, and they assume that the killer is probably from Georgetown because why wouldn't he, like, why would he reach out to this small local paper instead of a bigger DC paper? And the killer guy, whose name we learn is Rhett, because of course it is. Watches the girl do her best movie star walk, and I'm like, why is this kid being to hang out with this very, very creepy man? And then a young blonde woman is like walking across the scene behind her. And the guy's like stunning. And the girl's like, "Oh, me." And he's like, "No, you're a very ugly little girl and you have nothing to add to the world."
it's so
savage. And it's hilarious.
He is just like, cuts her right down to the
she's
bone.
She's just like, "What?"
Yeah.
But at least he leaves the girl alone. So it's like, you know what? Just sure.
And that will encourage her, hopefully, to never speak to another strange man in a train station again.
The medical examiner says that Kelly was restrained, starved of food and water, and then suffocated, and her lips were removed post-mortem.
It's like, well, at least it was post-mortem, right?
Yeah. And Reed notices something in Kelly's throat, like shoved in there. And Prentice and Morgan tell the detective that the killer would want to see his handiwork. And the detective's like, I'll film the crowd.
Yeah.
Like, what crowd?
Yeah.
There's not a body there anymore.
I love when the team makes a discovery that the professional has seemingly missed.
This woman has performed a full autopsy and
didn't notice a giant piece of
paper crammed into her mouth.
I was like, and she doesn't have lips. It's like,
right?
It's not a lot covering anything up there.
Like, okay.
So it's like, okay, sure. They're like, wow, this all feels orchestrated. I'm like, really?
Oh, does it?
You think this killer orchestrated all of this? You think he accidentally cut off her lips and shoved paper in her mouth?
After he made her up to look like a 1940s film star and sent a black and white photo of that to the newspaper?
Orchestrated how?
I don't know. This guy seems pretty sporadic. Like he hasn't really thought any of this through. But yeah, Prentice notices someone hiding in the sealed off crime scene back in the alley.
Must be the killer.
So when they pull out the paper from Kelly's throat, it's like a paper that has typewriter font like typed on. And they don't recognize any of it. They can read the words, but it's nothing that sticks out. Like, Google it.
Right.
It's just Google it. You can Google anything.
Not this, apparently.
But Morgan and Prentice talk to the man they find behind this tarp who'd been living in the alley. They ask him about the person who found Kelly's body. And the man's like, this is my spot. I'm the only one who lives here. Nobody else has been here. And then they just like rip the tarp down. And yeah, it's like, this is where he lives.
Yeah. Like, and I mean, he's obviously like under the effect of some sort of substance, like, or he has some sort of mental disorder.
Like, confused, distraught, very stressed out by this whole situation. They're like, let's rip the roof.
We're just going to tear your little shelter to shreds here while we're mean to you.
Yeah.
And gang up on you.
And then they find one of the sentences or phrases from the paper.
Yeah.
Also on written the wall, on the wall. Yeah. I didn't write down what it was. I can't remember.
It's not important because the whole movie is made up.
Yeah. So Morgan tells the detective that the man who found Kelly's body, near quotes, was actually the killer in disguise.
Yes. And then they flash back and show him.
Disguised as a homeless person. And you're like, how do you know that that's not just what he looks like?
Right. Or that he isn't a homeless person. But it's a level of disguise that reminded me of, like, Neil Patrick Harris in A Series of Unfortunate Events.
Yeah.
Like, the level of disguise that, like, the children in the series are like, no, that's him.
That's Count Olaf.
He looks the same. The adults are like, no, he looks totally different. Like,
it's like when they dress up the guy in Undercover Boss to go in and nobody recognizes the boss from their own company because he's wearing a wig and some glasses.
Yeah. Or like in She's All That when what's her name has glasses and a ponytail and they take her glasses and ponytail off and they're like, look, she's beautiful. She wasn't beautiful before.
She had glasses.
Yeah, they're like, look, he has a hat and a beard. He's obviously just a dirty homeless man. Don't pay any attention to him.
Maybe this guy is just generally disheveled.
Right.
I'm generally disheveled.
Look at me right now. This is why we can never film the podcast. I'm always disheveled. I mean, why wouldn't they have interviewed him more?
I don't know. It's just,
they just let him walk away. He's like, look, there's a body. And they're like, a body? And then he just leaves.
And then he's like, goodbye.
Yeah,
skateboards away.
I don't understand. There's a lot of unanswered questions here.
Just that assumption. Like, how do you know it was a disguise?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Because he's wearing those black glasses with the fake nose and mustache. It's the level of disguise he has.
Yeah. Back at Rhett's house.
Which is huge, by the way.
Yes.
For a home in a city.
Yeah. It's a massive Georgetown townhouse.
It's a massive mansion. Yeah.
The lady asks Rhett to read to her. She's like, I can't sleep unless you read to me. And like, this is a weird relationship.
Yeah. It's like, is this mother like, son? I don't like it.
He's eating something.
I don't know, but you can't
tell what it is. And it's like weirdly hidden. I'm like, I don't like any of this. Please don't show me the plate. And then she's like standing seductively on the top of the stairs. And she's like, are you coming? And I'm like, please
no.
Please end this scene. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. But the woman then, whose name is May Miller, tells Rhett that he's weak, just like his father was.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, so this is his mom.
Yeah.
Gross. They argue about who ruined whose life.
Seems mutual.
Yeah.
I'm going to go heavy on the mom for this one.
Yeah, had to stop acting because she had a baby. And Rhett opens the door and shows her his newest abductee. And May's like, oh, she looks just like me. So Rhett says that in a few hours, this girl will be more famous than his mother ever was.
Yes.
So Garcia can't match the quote from the paper. and the wall to any movie, but she can tell by Kelly's makeup that it has to be a movie from the 1950s because she has Marilyn Monroe's bedroom eyes, which I think is a way of putting on eyeliner. So it looks droopy, like you're falling asleep, which I thought was because Marilyn Monroe was always drugged heavily, but I think it's supposed to be the eyeliner. I Googled it because I didn't know what that meant.
I would like you to try to wear this type of makeup.
I would love to. I'll have my daughter put it on for me.
If you could come to work tomorrow like that, I would very much appreciate it.
Yeah. Hotch is like, don't worry about it. This is all very helpful for the profile. Mm. You're like, is it? Okay. he apologizes for embarrassing Garcia by asking about her play in front of everyone. And then they discuss that, like,
he's seen
this play or this thing happens. Yes. These abductions happen over 3 days. Mm-hmm. The one did anyway. They're going to assume that that's just a pattern because, again, we are assuming.
Yes.
And most stories and plays have a three-act structure.
Yes.
And, like, they're like, because Garcia's like, you know, sir, most plays. And he's like, yes, the three-act structure. Like, okay, so you guys all took, like, an intro to literature class in college.
Well, like, he saw her play in New York and...
Yeah. And then we get the profile.
Yes. So, Penny Hanley, who they say is 19. Sure. This woman does not look 19 at all to
me. No, she looks like she's like 27.
Right. Lives in Arlington, works in an art gallery. Yesterday, she didn't make it to work or back home. She caught the metro to Union Station. Her father dropped her off. Her purse was found a few blocks away on a side street. It's most likely where she was abducted. Kelly was taken for 3 days. If he's holding to the pattern, Penny's already on day two. Today, the Georgetown Monitor will receive a photo. Whatever happens, we cannot allow another photo like Kelly's to be published. We've got to get ahead of the media. They've already named him the Hill Ripper.
It's a terrible name.
It is, and he's only killed one person so far. Right? Just Kelly?
Yeah. You don't need a name.
You don't need a name for after one person. That seems like a lot. I want undercover units to lock that building down, assuming he means the Georgetown Monitor building. If you see him, let him walk in. Do not apprehend him before.
Oh, yeah, because they say that the photo was, like, hand-delivered.
Oh,
it wasn't
right.
mailed in.
Yeah, so they want him to walk in and hand off the photo again.
Yeah.
We're looking for a white male in his mid to late 40s, approximately 6 feet tall, slim build. Now listen. This guy, Rhett, was on Prison Break. I loved that show. Did you watch Prison Break?
I did watch Prison Break.
He was, like, the most scary one.
Yes.
That broke out.
He was very good in that.
Yeah. Would you describe him as approximately 6 feet tall?
I don't remember.
He always struck me as short. A short king.
I don't know.
For sure.
But it's hard, because, like, he is not in context with a lot of other people.
Yeah, that's true.
But he has the appearance of being tall because he's very gangly.
That's true.
So.
But he always struck me as, like, 5'8", at most.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I would not describe him as a tall man. Anyway, I'm going to have to look up how tall this actor is for real, because that drove me crazy. Because on Prison Break, he always seemed like the short one. But anyway. We think he's a local and a loner, and he's most likely unemployed. He's moving his victims around the city unseen, so we know he has a vehicle. It's probably an older model, but well-maintained. Then they're asked, what does he think the piece of paper that was in Kelly's throat is? A piece of paper that we believe is a script was found inserted in Kelly's throat. Somehow in the unsub's mind, Kelly seems to have failed expectations. Although there was no sexual interactions ante or postmortem, the removal of the lips is in itself a sexual act, a behavior which tells us we're dealing with a borderline personality. Based on the obvious theatricality of the case, we think he worked in or around the arts. 3 days may represent a three-act play.
This man is a theater kid.
Yes. Of which Kelly was the star. Kelly was killed 3 days after she was abducted. That means Penny may only have a day left.
Nice. Yes. Robert Knepper is 5'9".
I knew it.
Knew
it.
Yes.
How accurate was I on that
nice.
One?
Nice. That was...
He
good.
Is not 6 feet tall.
Well, it was part of the disguise. He was wearing lifts.
There you go.
He was disguised as a 6-foot homeless man. So Rhett does Penny's makeup and takes her photo. Mm-hmm. Penny sees photos of Kelly, mm-hmm. and Rhett's like, no, she didn't have it. And then did I make it up, or did he say, like, you have it in spades?
No, he said it.
Like, is that just what he's saying in my brain? Because it seems like a thing he would say. Penny's like, I don't want to be famous. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we all want to be famous.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Oh, no.
So at Union Station, they spend a very long time figuring out where the mm-hmm. unsub would sit.
Yes.
While he was watching people.
Mm-hmm. And instead of just looking at cameras. Yeah.
And then after they figure out where he would sit, they're like, let's check the security cameras. Yeah. And you're like, you could have just checked them already, but sure. Mm-hmm. So they watch the security cameras, they find where Red is, and they watch him get up and follow after Penny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the woman
not on the cameras.
It's not in the camera.
Yeah.
Which I didn't like that they did, because it's like they gave it away too early.
They did. Yeah. Because I was like, because if you hadn't seen it before, you'd be like, well, why wouldn't they back up far enough to notice he was with someone?
Yeah.
Right.
But they do note that he sat there for 3 hours, which is longer than any parking meter would allow him to leave his car for mm-hmm. without getting up.
Mm-hmm.
So he must have a resident permit and live close by to the station.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's actually some pretty good detective work.
Right.
Honestly.
I mean, regular detective work. Yeah. But
not FBI profiling work.
No.
But just regular detective work.
Mm-hmm.
So Rhett tries to put this pair of shoes on Penny, and they don't fit. She's like, I can just do the scene barefoot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like,
she does a good job of helping herself. Like, she.
Yeah. She like convinces him that she really wants to do the scene and mm-hmm. everything. He cuts her loose to do the scene. She plays along really, really well. And then he goes in for a kiss and she headbutts him in the face. And you're like, yes.
But like, Penny. What do you think is going to happen after that, Penny? How are you going to get away from him after that?
Yeah, because the door's locked.
Right.
So she just can't get out. And then he chloroforms her.
Mm-hmm. With a rag covered in his blood, because she headbutts him, his nose is bleeding. He's like, you broke my nose. He has the rag on his bloody nose, and then he puts chloroform on the bloody rag, and then puts the bloody rag.
What if he had pre-chloroformed it, and then he like wiped his nose and he chloroformed himself?
Then she could have gotten away.
I would have enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But then she wakes up, and he finds out that he cut off her toes? Or like,
I assumed he cut them off to make the shoes fit.
Yeah, because he says they fit and then they're all bloody and like, but then he holds up a razor blade.
So like, he cut them off with a razor blade?
You can amputate a toe with a razor blade.
I don't know.
I don't know. But it was like, this is so fucking stupid. Yeah.
Maybe he just like cut around each bone and then broke the toe off.
I don't know. It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
Yeah, it's not great.
They decide that they're going to have Garcia do the press conference mm-hmm. for some reason. Penny tries to escape again. She runs over and opens this door and finds something that just obviously terrifies her.
Yeah.
She's just like screaming. Mm-hmm. And Rhett's like, you'll never have a great walk. And you're like, mm-hmm. yeah, because you cut her toes off, Rhett.
Right.
You're like, you ruined this. Like, this is your fault.
She could have. Yeah, I don't understand why Hotch has this big plan for Garcia.
Yeah. So she really doesn't want to do the press conference. And Hotch is like, but Garcia, you're so good at community theater. And he says it right in front of everybody else. And she's like,
how could you?
But she gets all made up. And Morgan tells her to make Penny the side of the story. Mm-hmm. Or like the star of the story. So
I just don't understand why they don't have Prentice do this.
Like, she doesn't have a theater background.
Like, we need a blonde. She's like, I'm not blonde. Like, but you could be. Like, but then so could Prentice.
Yeah. But then Garcia, that she comes out with her blonde wig.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, do you think that is her actual hair?
Mm.
And the orange is a wig?
Yes, that would make so much more sense.
The blonde hair looked very natural, mm-hmm. and the orange hair always looks like a bad wig.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if that...
Yeah, that's a very good point.
If that was her real hair.
Yeah.
Because it looks 100,000 times better on mm-hmm. her than the stupid, like, because it's like too shiny.
Yeah.
It like looks like nylon.
Yeah. Like, and like, it's that like rusty color.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you should just keep this wig if it is a wig.
Yeah.
Rhett and Penny watched the press conference, and Penny sees her father begging for her life. Mm-hmm. Like, this would be so awful to watch.
Well, her father really like derails the whole plan. Like, what are they even letting this dad in there?
Yeah. So
it's always really great when they have like a shoot from the hip plan that, you know, somebody's life hangs in the balance.
Yeah. So they figure that now that he knows that they're on to him,
mm-hmm.
he's going to have to move the body. And that's how they're going to catch him. I'm like, so your plan to catch this guy
mm-hmm.
is to have him kill someone.
It like always
this,
is.
This whole plan hinges on
their plan
him
is
killing somebody
one more body.
And to dump the body.
Yeah, always. It's always just one more death and then they'll
you
be
guys
able to
are
do it.
Awful.
Every time.
Yeah. So Hotch and Rossi are like out patrolling the neighborhood. Morgan hands Garcia a note during the press conference that says they have the address.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go. So May begs Rhett not to leave her alone, but he drags an unconscious Penny out of the house. There's just cops everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere.
So Rhett is parked in an alley and he gets into the backseat of the car with Penny to like struggle,
to try to
kill her and suffocate her and everything. But Hotch and Rossi spot the car because there's like, you know, just a car parked in an alley with a man trying to smother a woman in the backseat. And they're like,
it's real subtle.
Suspicious.
They move pretty slow though. They're not in a hurry to get over there.
So they like go and Rhett tries to like run away, but Hotch shoots him, I think in the butt.
I don't know.
He shoots him right in the butt.
He gets him somewhere.
Cause he's like running down and he shoots him and then he shits him and then Rhett shits himself, but he like shoots and you just hear Rhett go, ah! It's like this really high pitch and he like kind of jumps. It's so funny. But yeah, they rescue Penny. They get the Walden's address from the license plates of the car. They find out who May is. And they surmise that she probably made her son attack these women and do all these terrible things because she was like an old washed up movie star who only did one movie, actually. So not even a movie star.
Yeah.
And got pregnant with Rhett by the co-star of the movie Reflection of Desire.
Yeah.
And
like he didn't want anything to do with her. He like wasn't part of their lives.
So he just abandoned them. Mm-hmm. It was just the two of them. And they're like, I think she made him do lots of terrible things. And you're like, again, a lot of assumptions.
Right?
You don't know anything about these people.
I also love when they are giving each other an update in front of a victim. Like, Penny is so traumatized. She doesn't want Hotch to leave her side. And so she's in the back of the ambulance and they're just like telling him everything about this guy and his weird mother-son relationship in front of Penny.
Yeah.
Like, this is not where we
should be
having
this
conversation.
This woman has no toes.
Right?
Can we get her to the hospital,
get
please?
Get her to her dad, please.
Jesus.
No.
The cops arrive at the house and Rhett tells his mother he knew that this day would come and he takes her hands and they walk out and he's hallucinating that they're walking on a red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Except
calls her mommy a lot of times, which is also really not good.
Nope. And then we like pan over and it cuts to real life. And May is dead.
He's been
Norman Batesing this whole situation.
The look on everyone's faces as he's coming out too is just like,
yeah, they're all like
pure disgust and shock.
Yeah, and and then Kelly's lips are stuck to the desiccated corpse. Which,
yes,
thankfully,
thank God he didn't eat
do
them.
Not show us.
Yeah,
we don't have to see it.
Oh yeah, that's that too. I was just thank God he wasn't eating them in that earlier scene.
Yeah. That was my first thought was, at least you didn't eat them. And my second thought was, please don't show me.
Yeah.
Please
yeah,
do not show
see
me this
corpse.
Face. And then Rhett's just like laughing maniacally as they're coughing.
With this completely disintegrating corpse in his arms. Here's the thing though. Before they leave the house, the mom is calling him my sweet love, which I call my daughter all the time. And I was like, well, now I can't do that.
Yeah.
Ever again, I can't say those words at her because this is what I'll be thinking of. This is what I'll really be thinking of the whole time.
Someday she'll be carrying your corpse.
We too have the same kind of relationship. So.
But yeah, then Garcia tells everybody about the play and they all go see it together.
Yep, they sure do.
There's a lot of light on this audience during the play, I noticed.
Full house lights are up.
Yep.
Mirrors everywhere on the stage. It's really great. Whoever this lighting designer is should be fired.
Yeah. And you know who's not there? Kevin.
Oh, that's
Which
right.
is weird. But yeah. I mean, he probably went to go see it on opening night.
He's probably like a been good there boyfriend. Every time yeah. for every performance.
And then he was like, oh, all your other friends are going, I'll sit this one right. out.
Or they just didn't invite him to sit with them. He's somewhere else.
He's the stage manager, so he's actually backstage.
He did the lighting design. He's not above, up in the booth.
But yeah, yeah that wow. is a reflection of desire. And what it is something. A trip.
Well, I'm going to start with statistics because we've got another white man.
I sure do.
We are now 9-2 for season 6, bringing us to 82% white men. Overall, 116-25, bringing us also to 82% white men. 82 and 82. So how would you rate this profile as far as accuracy, helpfulness, and plausibility on a scale of 1 to 10?
I guess he was kind of adjacent to the arts. I don't know. We don't know anything about him.
Right. We don't know get any look inside this criminal mind besides that he thinks his mother is still alive.
Yeah. And he's just trying to like recreate his mother.
Mm-hmm. Just woof, woof.
Yeah. But like, yeah, we don't, it's hard to say.
Yeah.
And they caught him by flushing him out.
Yeah, that's true.
Telling him that they have an address in there.
It's a hard one to score. I don't even know how I feel about giving it a score.
I don't know.
I guess I'll put middle of the road. Like it's a 5.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's not great. It's not terrible. It just is, yeah. as most of them are. This is not, for a TV show about profiles, it's never about the profile.
No.
So that was part of our mistake. How about Hotch for Hotch Watch? I wouldn't take anything away from him.
No.
Seems fine. I mean, I guess he did use something about Garcia's personal life as like professional leverage, which is not great.
Yeah. Yeah. And like,
but I like, I expect that sort of thing out of him.
And she clearly didn't want him to do that.
Yeah.
And he did it anyway.
It's true.
Which is not very nice. But then at the end, like when Penny is like, please don't leave me. Will you go with me to the hospital? He was like, yeah, I'll stay with you.
Right.
So it's like kind of balances it out.
Yeah. It's I don't, I'm yeah. not moved.
Nothing too egregious. Yeah. Just annoying. But he's generally annoying.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. Unfortunately, there's another episode after this.
I know.
That I feel like we could just skip over.
I don't.
I really, really don't want to have to watch it again.
This is, I will say, this episode is one that I have not ever rewatched since
Why would
the first
you?
Time. And I'm not looking forward to watching it again. This is absolutely, of every episode in this entire series, the hardest one for me to watch.
Yes.
Like, I almost didn't make it all the way through. Mm-hmm. Like,
Next episode is Into the Woods, which I guess they're playing off this theater thing here.
Yeah.
How dare they do this to Stephen Sondheim?
I was almost like, how dare they do this to Steven Soderbergh?
Him
That's
too.
A different person. He did Ocean's 11.
He's probably also outraged about this episode.
He yeah. wasn't there, but he's mad.
He heard about it, and it's also egregious. Yeah. Yep. I guess we'll be back again to try to talk about that one. I'm going to have a drink, though, because...
Yeah.
Did you rewatch it yet?
I have not.
I have not
I'm
either.
Putting it off.
Yeah. Why would you want to? Ugh.
Okay.
Well.
That's that.
Something for us all to look forward to. If everyone could just let us know that it would be okay to skip that episode, I would really appreciate it. We'll just go right on to the next. What's after that one? Maybe we should be looking even further
forward.
I was
just looking. It's called What Happens at Home, and I don't know.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
I don't know what it is.
I don't either, but I'd rather watch that one. I don't even care what it's about. I'd rather watch that one.
Oh, don't worry. We're not going to skip it. We're going to muscle through it.
No, I'll watch it. I'm not going to be happy about it. Well, wherever you're listening, be sure to leave a 5-star review. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Unsub is a White Man. Our merch is on Redbubble. If you buy any, make sure you tag us. We'll share you to our stories. Our theme music is composed and performed by Nate Youngblood, and the podcast is produced by Nate Youngblood. Thanks, Nate.
And until next week, we'll be continuing to stave off the robot rebellion happening in Sarah's house right now.